Good morning and welcome to Claude Daily, your morning briefing on all things Claude and Anthropic. I'm Alex.
And I'm Sam. Good morning, everybody.
It is Wednesday, May 6th, 2026, and we have got a genuinely packed show for you today.
Like, actually packed. I was looking at the rundown this morning and I said out loud, oh, this is a lot. And my coffee wasn't even ready yet.
That's how you know it's a big day.
That's exactly how you know.
So here's what we're working through this morning. Anthropic has released a suite of agent templates specifically built for financial services. And we're talking about real, specific, unglamorous financial workflows that are famously painful to do.
Pitchbooks, month-end closing, KYC. The stuff that makes finance professionals stare at the ceiling at 2 a.m.
Exactly that stuff. We'll get into what the templates actually do and how you deploy them. We're also going to talk about a pretty significant branding shift. Anthropic has renamed the Claude Code SDK to the Claude Agent SDK. And the reasoning behind that name change actually tells you a lot about where they're heading strategically.
And it's not just a coat of paint on the box. There are real new features that came with the rename, including streaming and a built-in task management system, which, honestly, when I read about that one, I had a lot of questions.
We'll get to all of it. And we've also got a look at Anthropic's educational content, specifically a tutorial that lays out what they're calling the 4 fundamental properties of AI, which is a really useful framework whether you're new to this space or you've been in it for years and want to check your mental model.
Yeah, I actually found that one surprisingly useful, even coming from where I come from with this stuff. So I'm looking forward to talking about it.
All right, let's get into it. The big story first. So Anthropic this week announced 10 ready-to-run agent templates built specifically for financial services and insurance. And the framing here is interesting. These aren't general-purpose agents that happen to work in finance. These are templates that were designed around the most painful, most labor-intensive workflows that finance professionals deal with on a daily and monthly basis.
Right, and I want to be specific about what we mean by painful, because I think when people hear financial services AI, they immediately picture, I don't know, a chatbot answering questions about your 401k.
Right, that's not this.
That's not this at all. We're talking about pitch book construction, which, if you've never worked in investment banking or private equity, a pitch book is basically a huge presentation document that analysts spend ungodly amounts of time building from scratch every single time. Pulling together financial data, market comps, company profiles, formatting everything to look exactly right.
And doing it on a deadline that's usually yesterday.
Always yesterday. So having an agent that can actually work through that construction process in a structured way, that's not a small thing.
And the other workflows they've targeted are equally specific. KYC file screening. That's know your customer. For anyone who hasn't heard the term, which is essentially the compliance process where financial institutions have to verify the identity and risk profile of their clients. It's extremely document-heavy, it's repetitive, and errors have real regulatory consequences.
Which means it's exactly the kind of work where people are both exhausted and terrified of making a mistake simultaneously. That's a brutal combination.
And the third one they specifically called out is month-end closing, which is the accounting process at the end of every reporting period where you reconcile all your books, identify discrepancies, and produce financial statements. Also famously miserable.
So you've got 3 buckets: deal execution and presentation, compliance and due diligence, and financial reporting and reconciliation. And then 7 more templates beyond that that we're going to learn more about as people start using them.
Exactly. Now, the way these are deployed is also worth talking about because there are actually multiple entry points depending on how your organization works. These templates are available as plugins within Claude Cowork and within Claude Code, which we'll have more to say about the name of that product in a moment, and they're also available as what Anthropic is calling cookbooks for their managed agents platform.
So if you're an organization that's already using Claude in some capacity, whether through the enterprise products or through the developer-facing tools, there's a pathway in for you.
Right, and I think the cookbook framing for the managed agents platform is interesting because it implies these aren't just templates you install and they run. They're starting points. They're documented, structured approaches that you can adapt to your specific situation.
Which makes sense for financial services in particular because the workflows across different institutions can look really different even when they're nominally the same process. Like KYC at a small regional bank and KYC at a global investment bank are technically the same compliance requirement, but operationally, they can look very different.
Right. So the cookbook approach gives you the structure and the reasoning without locking you into exactly one implementation.
And the other thing I want to flag here is what this signals about Anthropic's broader enterprise positioning, because there's been this ongoing question about whether the frontier AI labs are going to compete primarily on model capability, like who has the smartest model, or whether they're going to compete on deployment and workflow integration.
And this feels very clearly like a move into that second lane.
Very clearly. You're not just buying access to a capable model, you're buying a solution. And financial services is, it's one of the highest value enterprise verticals. The problems are complex, the stakes are high, and the willingness to pay for things that actually work is significant.
The detail that jumps out to me is that this is 10 templates out of the gate. This isn't a pilot. This isn't one proof of concept. It's a full suite.
Yeah, that suggests there was meaningful investment in understanding the domain, talking to practitioners, mapping the workflows, figuring out where agents can actually add value versus where they'd create new problems.
Which, to your point about KYC, is an important distinction. You wouldn't want to deploy an agent to do something where an error creates a regulatory liability without being really confident in the approach.
Exactly. And I'd also be curious to see how these perform over time, because pitch book construction in particular involves a lot of judgment calls about what to include, how to frame things, what the narrative is. That's not purely a data assembly task.
That's a great point. There's a real difference between gather and organize this information and tell me the story that wins this deal.
Right. And I think the smart bet is that these templates handle the former really well and help structure the latter. But the judgment layer is still a human thing.
For now, at least.
For now, yeah, which is probably the right design choice, honestly.
All right, so speaking of the Claude code name, which I keep having to remind myself to say differently now.
Oh, right, yeah, let's talk about that.
So this week, Anthropic published official migration documentation announcing that the Claude code SDK has been renamed to the Claude Agent SDK. And I want to be clear that this is a real name change with real package updates, not just a rebrand in the marketing materials.
Yeah, this affects your actual code. If you are a developer who's been building on the Claude Code SDK, you need to update your imports. The TypeScript and JavaScript package moves from @AnthropicAI/ClaudeCode to @AnthropicAI/ClaudeAgentSDK. And Python developers are looking at a similar update to their package names.
So there are tangible steps developers need to take. But I think the more interesting story is the why. Because when Anthropic names something, there's usually a signal in the name.
Oh, definitely. And the name Claude Code was doing a lot of work. It was telling you, this is for coding. This is the developer tool. You use this when you want Claude to write or review or debug software.
Which it does extremely well.
But the new name, Claude Agent SDK, is explicitly saying something different. It's saying this is a framework for building AI agents across multiple domains. Not just code, not just software development. Agents.
And that connects directly to what we were just talking about with the financial services templates, right? Because if you're building a pitchbook agent or a KYC screening agent, that's not a coding task.
Right. Those agents are doing research. They're processing documents. They're making structured decisions across complex workflows. The code framing doesn't capture that at all.
So the rename is essentially Anthropic saying, we built something that started as a coding tool, and it turned out to be the foundation for something much broader.
Which is a really common pattern in tech, actually. You build a specific thing, and then you discover the underlying capabilities are applicable way beyond your original use case, and you have to decide. Do you keep the narrow brand and constrain how people think about it, or do you rename it to match what it's actually become?
They chose to rename it,
which I think is the right call. Imagine if Anthropic was pitching this to a bank's compliance team and saying, you should use the Claude Code SDK to build your KYC agents. That's a weird conversation.
Yeah, that's a tough sell. Why does my compliance tool have code in the name?
Exactly. Whereas Claude Agent SDK, that's a thing a compliance director can understand and buy into.
Now, alongside the rename, there are also some new substantive features in the SDK that shipped with this update. The first one is real-time response streaming. Tell me about that.
Okay, so by default, and this is how most SDK interactions have worked, when you make a request to Claude through the Agent SDK, you wait. Claude does its thing, generates its full response, and then that complete response comes back to you as an object.
Which works fine for a lot of use cases.
Works fine, yeah. But imagine you're building an agent that's doing something that takes a while, analyzing a long document, working through a multi-step workflow, reasoning through a complex problem. You're just sitting there waiting. There's no feedback. And from a user experience standpoint, that's rough.
It feels like nothing's happening.
It feels like nothing's happening, and worse, you don't know if it's working. Did it hang? Is it processing? Is it about to produce something great? You have no idea.
So streaming changes that.
Streaming changes that completely. With streaming enabled, you set a parameter called include partial messages to true. The SDK starts yielding what are called stream event objects, and these are incremental chunks of output as they're generated. So you see text appearing as Claude writes it. You see tool calls being constructed as they happen.
Which is the experience most people have when they're using Claude through a chat interface.
Right, that streaming feel that makes it feel like a real-time conversation. That capability is now available to developers building agents through the SDK. So if you're building an interface on top of a Claude agent, your users get that same responsive, live-feeling experience.
And there's also a technical advantage here beyond just user experience, right? Like for long-running tasks.
Yes. So for very long tasks, streaming also means you can start processing output before the full response is complete. If your agent is generating a 100-page financial report or whatever, you don't have to wait for page 100 to land before you can start doing something with page 1.
That's actually a meaningful efficiency gain for certain kinds of workflows.
Definitely. And the implementation detail in the docs is useful. You're extracting text chunks from specific event types. There's a pattern for handling tool calls versus text output. It's well documented. Which is something I'll just say. The Claude Agent SDK docs have been getting really good.
Yeah, that's been a consistent theme. All right, so the other new feature that shipped in this update is the built-in to-do list system. Which, when I first read that, I thought, wait, is this like a task manager feature inside an AI SDK?
That was my reaction too. I was like, to-dos in the SDK? What does that even mean?
And it turns out it makes a lot of sense once you think about it. Walk me through it.
Okay, so here's the thing. When you're building complex multi-step agent workflows, and we're talking about like the financial services stuff we mentioned earlier, where the agent needs to do 10 or 15 things in sequence, maybe some things in parallel, tracking state becomes a real problem.
What's been done? What's in progress? What's left to do?
Exactly. And without a built-in mechanism for that, developers were basically rolling their own task tracking in code, which adds complexity and also makes it harder to observe what the agent is actually doing at any given moment.
So the to-do functionality is essentially a first-class task management layer built into the SDK.
Right. And it follows a really clean lifecycle. Tasks start in a pending state when they're first identified. They move to in progress when the agent is actively working on them. They move to completed when they're done, and then they're removed from the active list.
Which is satisfying in a deeply human way.
It really is. There's something psychologically nice about watching tasks tick through a defined life cycle. But more practically, this gives you real-time visibility into where the agent is in a complex workflow, which is huge for debugging, huge for user experience if you're showing progress to a user, huge for trust.
Because one of the challenges with agents doing complex work is that from the outside, they can be a black box. You kick off the workflow and then you're just hoping.
And the to-do system basically opens a window into that. You can see, okay, we're on step 7 of 12. These are the 5 things that are pending. This is the one thing that's currently in progress. That's meaningful transparency.
And the documentation says these are automatically displayed in certain contexts. So it's not like you have to build a whole progress UI from scratch.
Right, there's default rendering built in. So for a lot of use cases, you get this basically for free. You just build your workflow, and the to-do visibility comes with it.
Okay, so you've got the rename, you've got streaming, you've got to-dos. When you put all three together, what's the picture?
The picture is a framework that's growing up. It started as a tool that was honestly really impressive for coding use cases, and it's becoming something that looks a lot more like a general purpose enterprise agent platform. The rename makes the intent explicit, the streaming makes the developer and user experience much better, and the to-do management makes complex workflows observable and trustworthy.
And all of that is necessary if you're going after the financial services market with 10 agent templates.
Totally. Those three things are not coincidences. They're the infrastructure you need to support serious enterprise deployments.
That actually connects to something. So Anthropic also has this educational content that they've been publishing through Claude's tutorial platform. And there's a piece out this week called The 4 Properties of AI that I think is worth talking about because it's basically a framework for understanding everything we've been discussing. So this tutorial, it's published under Claude's official educational content. lays out four fundamental properties that characterize how AI systems like Claude actually work. And I think for a lot of our listeners, some of this will be familiar, but the way they've organized it is genuinely useful.
I want to say up front, I went into this expecting it to be like entry-level explainer stuff. And it is accessible. It's designed to be accessible. But the framing is actually quite precise, and I found myself like re-examining assumptions I'd had for a while.
So let's go through the four properties. The first one is next token prediction, which is essentially the mechanism by which these models generate text.
Right. And I know that phrase gets thrown around a lot. Like, it's almost a cliche at this point to say, it's just predicting the next token. But the tutorial does a good job of being precise about what that actually means. It's pattern continuation. The model has learned from an enormous amount of text data what patterns look like. And when it's generating output, it's continuing those patterns.
And that has real implications for how you should think about what the model is doing at any given moment.
Exactly. It's not reasoning in the way a human reasons. It's not retrieving facts from a database. It's generating text that is consistent with patterns it's observed, which is simultaneously more impressive and more limited than people sometimes assume.
The second property is knowledge from frozen training data. And this one, I think, is the one people bump into the most in practice.
Oh, constantly. Because the model's knowledge has a cutoff. Everything it knows, it learned during training. After training ended, the weights froze, and the model's factual knowledge froze with them.
So if you ask Claude about something that happened after its training cutoff, it either doesn't know or it might confuse things.
Which is why things like real-time search tools and connections to current data sources matter so much. The base model has static knowledge. You have to supplement it if you need current information.
Third property, fixed context window. This one's a little more technical, but it's really important for anyone building agents.
Yeah, so the context window is essentially the amount of information the model can actively work with at any one time. It's finite. There's a ceiling. And everything that's happening in a conversation or a workflow, the instructions, the history, the documents you fed in, the intermediate results, all of that is competing for space in that window.
And when you start building complex multi-step agents, like the financial services templates we were talking about, context management becomes a real design challenge.
Huge design challenge, because a pitchbook workflow might involve reading through dozens of source documents, maintaining a running draft, tracking what's been done and what hasn't. And all of that needs to fit in or be managed around the context window. That's part of why the to-do system in the Agent SDK is actually technically interesting, not just UX interesting.
Because it's structured external state that doesn't have to live in the context window.
Right. You're offloading some of the what are we doing tracking to the to-do system rather than having it take up context space. That's a real architectural consideration.
I hadn't connected those two things that way. That's a good point.
It clicked for me reading both pieces kind of simultaneously.
And the fourth property is responsiveness to instructions, which might sound obvious, but there's something specific being said here.
Yeah, and this is the one I find philosophically interesting. The claim isn't that the model responds to what you intend or to what you want. It's that the model responds to instructions as presented in the context. And that distinction matters a lot.
Say more about that.
So, if you give Claude an instruction that's ambiguous, it's going to respond to the instruction as it interprets it, not to your underlying intent. And a lot of the pain people experience with AI systems comes from a gap between what they meant and what they said. The model is responsive to what's in the prompt, which means prompt engineering isn't just stylistic, it's functionally important.
Because you can't rely on the model to always infer what you meant.
Right, and I think this is actually a really important framing for enterprise deployments especially. When you're designing the prompts that power a KYC screening agent or a month-end close agent, precision in how you write those instructions is genuinely consequential. You're not going to get to say, well, it should have known what I meant.
Which is probably why Anthropic is publishing this tutorial, right? Like, they want their users, especially enterprise users, to have a clear mental model of how this works.
Exactly. And the four properties framing is clean, it sticks. You can carry those four things in your head and they help you think more clearly about what to expect from the system and how to design better workflows.
Next token prediction, frozen training data, fixed context window, responsiveness to instructions.
That's the framework. And honestly, I've been in this space for a while and having it organized that crisply is useful even for me.
Okay, so let's zoom out a little bit. Because looking at everything we've covered this morning, and then layering in the broader industry context that we've been tracking, there's a through line here that I think is worth naming explicitly. Because we've been talking about financial services templates, an SDK rename, streaming, to-dos, a tutorial about AI fundamentals, and it might feel like a mixed bag of news, but I actually think it all points in one direction.
Tell me your read.
My read is that Anthropic is executing a very deliberate transition from "we make a great AI model" to "we make enterprise AI solutions." And all of these announcements are parts of that transition.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I'd add, the transition isn't abandoning the research mission or the frontier model work. They're still very much doing that. But the commercial layer is maturing fast.
Right, because historically the pattern in AI has been, you build a capable model, you put it behind an API, and you say, here's what it can do, now go build things with it. And there's a whole ecosystem of companies that built businesses on top of that pattern.
But increasingly, the question is whether the model providers themselves should be building more of that stack. Like, should Anthropic be building the financial services templates, or should that be left to vertical AI startups?
And the answer they seem to be giving is, at least for certain high-value, high-complexity domains, we're going to build the templates. We're going to do the domain work. We're going to make it easier for enterprise customers to deploy, not just develop.
Which is a competitive move, but it's also genuinely helpful to the ecosystem in some ways. Because the hardest part of deploying AI in financial services isn't the model capability. It's the workflow design, the integration, the trust building with the people who have to use it.
And if Anthropic does some of that heavy lifting up front, it lowers the barrier significantly.
Right. And it creates a feedback loop. Financial services teams start using the templates, they give feedback, the templates get better, more teams adopt them, and suddenly Anthropic has deep domain expertise in a vertical that pays extremely well for software that works.
That's a flywheel.
That's a flywheel. And you can imagine the same thing happening in healthcare, in legal, in government, any highly regulated, document-heavy vertical where the workflows are painful and well-defined.
The insurance mentions in this announcement is interesting to me too, because insurance is often lumped in with financial services, but it has its own distinct workflow universe. Underwriting, claims processing, actuarial work. Those are different from investment banking workflows in important ways.
Yeah, and the fact that they're including insurance explicitly suggests they're not just targeting the obvious investment banking and asset management use cases. They're trying to get broader coverage of the financial services and insurance landscape.
Which is a much bigger total addressable market.
Much bigger. And the managed agents platform piece is interesting from that angle too, because that platform is essentially Anthropic saying, we will not only give you the agent, we will run it for you.
Right, that's the managed services angle. You don't have to have your own infrastructure to deploy these agents.
Which opens the door to organizations that want the benefit without necessarily having the technical team to build and maintain their own deployment. A mid-sized regional bank, for example, might not have a machine learning engineering team, but they absolutely have month-end close pain.
And if Anthropic can offer a managed, ready-to-run solution for that specific pain point, that's a pretty compelling sales conversation.
Very compelling. Okay, I want to pull back even further for a second. Because we've been in this weird moment in AI where everyone has been debating whether these models are going to be useful for real work or whether they're mostly impressive toys.
The cool demo, but does it scale question.
Exactly. And I think what we're seeing, not just from Anthropic, but across the industry, though Anthropic is making some distinctive moves here, is that the does it scale question is getting answered. Slowly, domain by domain, workflow by workflow, but it's getting answered.
And financial services is a particularly meaningful domain for that answer because the work is high stakes, the clients are sophisticated and skeptical, and the bar for actually works is genuinely high.
Right. A financial services firm isn't going to adopt an AI solution for KYC screening because the demo was cool. They're going to adopt it because it reliably does the work without introducing compliance risk. That's a hard bar to clear.
And Anthropic releasing 10 templates rather than one or two suggests a level of confidence in the approach.
Yeah, if you were uncertain about this, you'd release one or two and see what happens. 10 is a statement.
All right, I want to come back to the SDK rename one more time because I think there's an industry angle here that's worth talking about. Because it's not just Anthropic. There's been a broader shift in how the whole AI development ecosystem is talking about agents.
Yeah, agents have gone from being a buzzword to being, like, the organizing concept for the entire next phase of AI development. A year or two ago, agent was kind of a vague, aspirational term. Now it's a specific technical and product category.
Right. And the tools are catching up to the ambition. We're seeing agent frameworks, agent orchestration platforms, agent evaluation tools. The scaffolding that you need to actually build reliable agents at scale is maturing.
And the Claude Agent SDK rename is sort of planting a flag in that space and saying, we are an agent-first framework, not a code generation tool that also happens to work for other things. An agent framework, full stop.
And the features that shipped with it, streaming and to-dos, are both about making agents more observable and interactive, which is crucial for enterprise trust.
Because the thing about agents, and I've talked to a lot of enterprise technology teams about this, the thing that makes people nervous about agents isn't capability. They believe in the capability. What makes them nervous is control. Can I see what it's doing? Can I intervene if something goes wrong? Can I audit what happened after the fact?
And streaming gives you real-time visibility while it's happening, and to-dos give you a structured record of what the workflow did.
Right, those are partial answers to the control question. Not complete answers, but meaningful ones.
And I'd expect to see more features in this direction. Better logging, better error handling, better rollback mechanisms. The whole category of enterprise agent governance is still pretty early.
Definitely early. But Anthropic is clearly thinking about it, which is encouraging.
Okay, let's do a quick sweep of the broader news landscape because there's a lot happening out there beyond just Anthropic's own announcements.
Yeah, the competitive environment is worth touching on because it gives context for why these moves matter.
So across the industry, you've got a few themes that have been dominant. The first is the enterprise push. Basically, every major AI lab is trying to get deeper into enterprise workflows, moving from API access to managed solutions, adding compliance and security certifications, building vertical-specific offerings.
And that race is intensifying. The window where you could win just by having the best model is getting narrower because the model quality across the top providers has gotten really close.
Genuinely close. I mean, there are still meaningful differences in capability depending on the task, but the days of one model being obviously dominant across all use cases, those days are probably behind us.
Which means the competition is shifting to distribution, integration, trust, ecosystem. And that's where moves like the financial services templates matter strategically.
Because you can't just benchmark your way to enterprise dominance.
You can't just benchmark your way to it. You have to show up in the workflows where people are spending their time and prove that you can reliably handle the work.
The second theme I'd point to is the infrastructure question. As agentic workloads get more complex, the demands on compute, latency, and reliability go up significantly. Running a single chat interaction is very different from running a multi-step agent workflow that might take hours and involve dozens of tool calls.
And the streaming capability we talked about earlier is partly about that. It's about making long-running processes feel usable even when they're technically complex and slow.
Right. You can tolerate a process taking 20 minutes if you can see progress. You can't tolerate 20 minutes of a spinner with no feedback.
Nobody can tolerate that.
Nobody can tolerate that. And the third theme is the evaluation problem. How do you know if your agent is working? How do you test it, benchmark it, monitor it in production?
This is the hardest unsolved problem in enterprise AI right now, in my opinion. Model evaluation is hard enough. Agent evaluation, where the system is making sequences of decisions and you need to assess the quality of the whole chain, not just individual outputs, that's genuinely hard.
And I'd watch for this to be a major area of development in the coming months. Not just from Anthropic, but from the whole ecosystem. There's going to be a lot of tooling built around agent observability and evaluation.
Yeah, and whoever cracks that, whoever gives enterprise teams confidence that they can actually assess what their agents are doing and how well they're doing it, that's a significant competitive advantage.
All right, let's talk about the user community angle for a second. Because all of this infrastructure and enterprise positioning is happening alongside a very active community of individual developers and practitioners who are building their own things with Claude.
Yeah, and sometimes I think the enterprise story gets all the attention and the individual developer story gets underweighted.
Right, because the individual developer community is honestly where a lot of the interesting experimentation is happening. These are people who are pushing the edges of what the tools can do, finding unexpected use cases, building workflows that nobody at Anthropic necessarily anticipated.
And that ecosystem, Hacker News threads, Reddit discussions, the tutorials that get shared, that's both a signal of where the technology is and a source of pressure on Anthropic to keep improving the developer experience.
The streaming feature, for instance. That's something developers have been asking for and experimenting around for a while. The to-do management system is the kind of thing that I could easily see emerging from developer conversations about how to build better agent workflows.
Totally. Like, someone's out there building a complex agent and they're manually tracking state in a dictionary and they're like, this is terrible, this should be built in. And that feedback gets heard.
And the tutorial content we discussed, the four properties framework, that's also clearly designed to meet people where they are. It's written for someone who's genuinely trying to build things and wants to understand the system they're building on.
Which I appreciate. There's a lot of AI educational content that's either too shallow, like a top 10 list of AI tips, or too deep, pure technical papers. The four properties framing hits a useful middle ground.
Practical foundations.
Practical foundations, yeah. You don't need to understand transformer architecture to find this useful. You need to understand how the system behaves, what its limits are, and how to work with those limits. And that's what this tutorial delivers.
All right, I think we've done a thorough job with today's news. Let me do a quick recap before we head out.
Yeah, let's land the plane.
The big story. Anthropic released 10 specialized agent templates for financial services and insurance, targeting specific painful workflows like pitch book construction, KYC screening, and month-end close. These are available through Claude Cowork, Claude Code, or rather the Claude Agent SDK, and the Managed Agents platform.
And the managed piece is significant because it opens the door to organizations that want solutions without needing to build them in-house.
Second story, the Claude Code SDK has been officially renamed to the Claude Agent SDK. New package names in both Python and TypeScript and JavaScript. The name change reflects a deliberate expansion of scope. This is no longer a coding tool. It's a general-purpose agent development framework.
And it came with two meaningful new features. Real-time streaming of responses for better developer and user experience, and a built-in to-do management system for tracking state and progress in complex multi-step workflows.
Both of which address real enterprise pain points around visibility and trust.
Both of which are frankly things that probably should have been in there from the beginning, and now they are.
And separately, Anthropic's tutorial platform published a framework called the Four Properties of AI, Next Token Prediction, Frozen Training Data, Fixed Context Window, and Responsiveness to Instructions, which is worth bookmarking if you're building on these systems or trying to explain them to others.
Really clean framework. I'm going to use it.
When you zoom out, the picture is an AI lab that is maturing its commercial offerings in a deliberate and coherent way. The agent platform, the financial services templates, the naming and framing of the SDK, these all point in the same direction.
Which is, we are building the enterprise AI infrastructure for the next decade, and we are being thoughtful about which domains to go deep in first.
Financial services is a high bar. If this works there, the playbook applies elsewhere.
Exactly. And I'd watch for the next vertical announcement with a lot of interest.
Same. All right, that'll do it for today's Claude Daily. Thanks to everyone who's listening. If you're a developer who got hit by the SDK rename, hopefully you've already made the package updates. But if not, now you know.
It's a quick change, don't stress about it, but do make the change.
And if you're in financial services and you're curious about the agent templates, the cookbooks are available through Anthropic's documentation, and the Managed Agents platform is the fastest path to trying them without a big infrastructure build.
There's never been more stuff to build with, which is the best and worst thing to say at 8 in the morning.
I'll take it.
I'll take it too.
I'm Alex.
I'm Sam.
We'll see you tomorrow morning on Claude Daily.
Stay curious, stay building, take care, everyone.